96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
Our unalienable right to life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness, those rights were stripped from college kids in Blacksburg and Santa Barbara, and from high schoolers at Columbine, and from first graders in Newtown. First graders. Every time I think about those kids, it gets me mad. And by the way, it happens on the streets of Chicago every day.
That's President Obama during his announcement of an executive order on gun control today. The emotional speech outlined the president's go-it-alone approach to reducing gun violence in America. What's in the plan? What does it mean for gun sellers? And what are the politics behind the move? We're looking at all of those questions and much more tonight. My guests are D.C. Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton, Dr. Lorenzo Morris, political science professor here at Howard University, and Matthew Horace, a former special agent in charge with the ATF. Lines are open. What do you think about the president's speech, his executive order? What do you think about guns? We're talking about it tonight at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. You can comment also on my Facebook page at facebook.com/Harold T. Fisher or follow me on Twitter at Daily Drum WHUR. Thank you all for joining me. I appreciate it. Hello, everybody.
Good evening.
All right. So let me first talk about the speech itself. Congresswoman, at first blush, what were your thoughts about this speech?
If we think of the great orator that Barack Obama is, it's a very impressive speech. If you were looking for major changes in gun laws, that's not what this speech was about. The heart of the speech was declaring people who really are making a living selling guns to be in the business of selling guns and therefore to need a license. That's really, if, in terms of the nut of the could make a difference. It was a narrowly tailored action, because most of what we need to do with gun safety would require the body in which I serve to step up. By executive action, the president can do less here than he's done in many other areas, such as, for example, declaring that those who do contracts with the government have to have a certain minimum wage. Mm-hmm. When it comes to guns, he has done something very significant, however, particularly if you live in the big cities, because the gun show loophole, and remember, if you go to a gun show, there are people who are dealers who sell weapons. Mm-hmm. But gun shows in places like Virginia are full of traffickers, people who have bought guns, I would say illegally, because you can get them through straw purchases, then bring their guns
and sell them.
Open the trunk of their car and sell them. And who do they sell them to? They sell them to people in big cities like D.C., who are then swamped with guns, even though we have perhaps the toughest gun law in the United States.
Mr. Horace, let me ask you your thoughts about what is in this plan. We've got background checks. We also have what appears to be more money for online gun trafficking investigations, mental health services, that's a biggie, $500 million for mental health services, among other things. What are your thoughts about what's in this plan? Does it have any teeth at all, or do you think it's just the best that the president could do under the circumstances?
Well, good evening, Harold. As Congressman Norton said, this is a very complex issue. So as I look at the tenets of his proposal, as she said, a lot of what he talked about is already in play and already in place in different ways. However, several things come to mind immediately. Number one, the improvements to the NICS program and enabling it to run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, should increase the capacity of the FBI to process in information that's coming from the state.
And you said NICS program. Explain that for those of us who aren't familiar.
The National InstaCheck program, and that's the program that the FBI administers through information that they get from the states that are running background investigations on people who are illegally trying to purchase guns.
And why don't you explain what that did in South Carolina by not getting in the South Carolina shooting of the people who were shot in Charleston?
Well, in this case, as I understand, in South Carolina, they had a delayed response. So the individual, the suspect, actually took possession of the firearm because there's a three-day period. He received the firearm, and after that three-day period, the information came back that he was prohibited. So
these are things that can
happen in an imperfect system.
And the president is looking for some 230 additional examiners and personnel to process background checks 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Big deal or not, Mr. Horace?
That's a game changer, because 24 hours a day means that'll be 10 hours a day extra in additional staffing. Where I don't know about his plan is when he says he's going to add 200 ATF agents to the job. We don't know what the ATF's attrition will be next year. We don't know how many agents they were hiring next year anyway. So I don't know how much impact that will have, given the enormity of the Bureau, offices all around the country. You know, you're talking about one person per office. It's really not a great impact unless it's additional funding for additional staff.
Dr. Morris, let's talk about the politics for just a moment. This is the president's last year. As recently as a couple of months ago, there was a lot of discussion about lame duck, but this is, executive order or not, a bold statement. Your thoughts about this starting off his last year in office?
Well, this is not a lame duck. This is a kicking duck at worst. And I think to draw on Congressman Norton's point about oratory, sometimes oratory can be extremely important. The order to march, given in the right context, can be more important than the actual first steps of the first march. In this case, I think by presenting it in this fairly emotional but also comprehensive fashion as a national issue of national interest beyond simple technical regulation, but as an issue that links every American together in policy issues against a lobby and a set of lobbyists that has so dominated Congress, helps to give it a sense of primacy that I don't think any individual legislative initiative would necessarily raise. And in particular, among other things, he brought up issues that had long faded, such as the health care elements of gun control and the regulatory issues. So as to act and to give the impression that this required a national mobilization, what that means, if nothing else happens, is that it will be a compelling issue for the coming campaigns, in part because the extension of executive power, even if within the range of legal authority, gives the image of presidential initiative and leadership that resonates with polls. Show that people respond to images of leadership most significantly when all else fails for candidates.
Let me go to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about the president's executive order on gun control. What do you think about it? What do you think it may mean to you? Maine, calling from Prince George's County, Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
How you doing? Hi, everybody. Happy New Year.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Go ahead.
I just want to keep it real. You know, every time I call you, I keep it real, man. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm out here in the streets. I'm a Uber driver, you know, and I meet a lot of people and talk to a lot of people. But I'm just keeping it real right now. When is somebody going to actually do something, like put their foot down on this problem, man? I mean, there's so many reasons why we should. Movie theaters getting shot up, churches. I mean, what else has to happen? I mean, you know, then they come up with this slogan, you know, oh, guns kill people. People with guns kill people. Guns don't kill people. Well, which one is it? Are you going to get rid of the people, or are you going to get rid of the guns?
Well, Maine,
I mean, which one is it? Why is it? We should have been solved this problem.
Well, Maine, you bring up an interesting point, because, you know, certainly you are echoing the concerns that the president mentioned today, that he mentioned after Sandy Hook, that he mentioned after San Bernardino, after he mentioned after the the community college shooting in Oregon. Let me ask Congresswoman Norton to at least address this, because here's the huge point, and I want to play a little something and have the Congresswoman react to this, because I think she has been speaking about this for years.
All of us need to demand a Congress brave enough to stand up to the gun lobby's lies. All of us need to stand up and protect its citizens. All of us need to demand governors and legislators and businesses do their part to make our communities safer.
Congresswoman, you've been talking about the gun lobby for as long as I've known you. And you talk about their power. Can you give us a little more detail? What does that mean for Congress members who are out west in big gun states, as well as people like yourself here in the District of Columbia?
Well, remember when President Clinton, and I was then just come to Congress, was able to get an assault weapon ban passed, was able to get the gun show loophole closed. But that bill, after 5 years, had to be reauthorized. There was a Republican president, and that was the end of it. So what did the NRA do in the meantime? They spent those years convincing people out west that you speak of that what the president had done, President Clinton had done, was taken away their guns. And the only way to stand tall mm-hmm. is to make sure that nothing can happen to your guns. Despite that, 90% of the people are for background checks. And still, even with a Republican and a Democratic sponsor in the Senate, both of whom were from gun states, we could not get the gun show loophole, background checks, I'm sorry, passed. That, why not, you might ask? It is because of the intensity that people who are for guns and take their directions from the NAR feel, as opposed to most people. Most people feel strongly, for example, about background checks, but they feel strongly about a number of other issues. So they're not willing to vote, and here your political scientists will tell you that this is really the way it operates. They're not willing to single-issue vote.
Mm-hmm.
This
mm-hmm.
gives the NRA power it simply would not otherwise have.
Talk to me about the money.
Well, I think that probably the most salient expression of what it does, a lobby that has a lot of money, even a well-placed money, it comes out with the most liberal of the candidates in the current presidential debate, Bernie Sanders. The fact that they place so much pressure on him mm-hmm. means that you need a constant spotlight on every voting member of Congress and perhaps every state legislature as well. And that takes a national initiative. I think by getting it as a primary campaign focus, no matter how people feel about regulatory intervention and gun control, it has to be at a central level. And by getting it both into Obama's legacy, meaning he's going to work on it after he leaves, but also by getting it into the campaign year, it will force people to recognize what they don't know now, which is how their Congress member votes. Most people aren't aware of that.
I need to take a break in just a bit, but I wanted to make sure that our listeners know that the lines are open, and I'd really be interested in hearing what you have to say, not only about this executive order. Do you think it's going to do any good? How do you feel about guns? If you are a gun owner, if you are a gun enthusiast, do you believe that the president is trying to take away your guns? And if so, why? Or why not? 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Of course, we are talking about the president's executive order on gun control today and the immediate impact, because this does take effect right away. It does not require any waiting period, stroke of the pen situation from the president. So we definitely want to hear from you. So please, if you're on the line, stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher, and I promise you will be able to hear the program while you're on hold. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We will be back in just a few seconds. Stay with us.